And we're back for another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave. We had a late night last night, but man, we're pumped up to be back with you to talk about the game and to talk about the players that we really think are doing great with the Thunder. First of all, Dave, what did Josh Giddey do so well last night?
I mean, how long do you have? I look at Josh, what he did last night, and just flexing his muscles. I mean, he always seems to step up with certain teams, whether it's a New York team or a Los Angeles team. There's certain times that he just steps up, and what we see is something truly great. But last night was no exception. He stepped up in a way that we needed when we needed it, with 22 points, 11 assists, and 9 rebounds. So a near triple-double. But I just got to say is every time that we hear something negative about Josh, he comes out more ready to play, more intense, more focused. And I can't help but wonder, like, he's hearing all this nonsense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, and I hear how he's changing what he's doing, and I can't help but get excited because, I mean, this is next level shit that he's pulling off right now.
Yeah, we heard him talk with Andrew Gaze about the draft night and how much that really bothered him, and he knew what he needed to do was get to work. But the way people talked about him, and if you listen to some of the ways that even Thunder fans talked about Josh Giddey, it was like all of a sudden we had turned ourselves into the New York Knicks, and we were okay with booing our draft picks, which is just obscene. It's not what we do. And Josh Giddey unfortunately felt the brunt of that, but he's overcome a lot of that. And after having a rough game, he came back and had what, like, probably his best game all season in a lot of ways. 22 points, I think 9 rebounds and 10 assists, right?
11 assists, yep.
There you go. So, I mean, just overall, a really beautiful game by Josh Giddey. He was doing his scoring in the most consistent way we've seen all season, right? Which was, he was getting to his spots, and he was using a combination of finesse, but when he was exploding to the rim, he finished with strength and power over people through contact because he's just not getting the whistles.
Yeah, and that's something that's going to come with time. It's something that we saw all night last night where he would get to the hole, there would be a ton of contact and just not called. And I don't know what he has to do to change his game other than spending time in the league and, you know, gaining the respect from the refs that way, because it seems like the NBA is still in that old mindset where we give certain players the nod, we give certain players the benefit of the doubt, but certain players we don't do that with. And it just sucks because, to me, it shows a disrespect to the rookies and the sophomores and the third-year guys. We saw it with Shea earlier this year. He wasn't getting any calls at all. And then all of a sudden he starts playing all-star basketball and the refs start calling it. Like, to me, they should be calling those calls way before. I know it slows the game down, but the reality is that we saw too many times last night where they just missed a call. You know, whether it was Sarge stepping out of balance, they said he stepped out of balance and he didn't, or Jay Will or whoever. Like, to me, like, there were so many missed calls last night, and it played a direct correlation to every single time that we started getting on a run, bad call happened, and then we just couldn't get up after that. And I felt like we had an opportunity to cut it to 2 points with what, like, a minute and a half to go or something like that.
It was and close, yeah.
Yeah, like, it just, there was this thing after thing that just happened. It just got frustrating. And, you know, the refs are doing what they are capable of doing. But to me, the NBA has got to hold them more accountable, because when you look at it like this and you say, they shot 10 more free throws than us, but the refs probably missed 15 foul calls that would go our way. And that's significant. To me, like there shouldn't have been a 10-point differentiation in there, because, you know, the Thunder were getting fouled way more than we were fouling, and it's just strange to me at this point. Like, why is this happening? A lot of people have conspiracy theories saying that the league doesn't want the Thunder to be good, but that's where I disagree, because if you look at the base where the Thunder can create with Josh from Australia and Jay Will, with the being Vietnamese, like, there's certain things that we have to look at, and Shea and Dort from Canada and Sarge and Poku. I mean, these guys are from all over the world that bring such a huge fan base with them. So for them to say that the Thunder don't want to win, the NBA doesn't want the Thunder to win is crazy, because by becoming ambassadors to different countries with the NBA, by these players like Jokic. Joker, you know, look at Poku's here and other players come out because of it, because they choose basketball. And Josh Giddey would have never played basketball if it wasn't for Patty Mills. And you know, these are the type of guys that like lay the foundation and lay the way for these young men. And I have to say is the NBA needs the Thunder to be good. So I don't believe that the NBA doesn't want the Thunder to win. I just think that there's a disrespect towards our players right now because it's a lack of knowledge of who they are.
All right. I agree. I also think that in the end, there's a lot of technical things as the season goes on that they call fouls for. And we have to learn, because a lot of our young players are getting more time, we're going to have to learn how to you know, conduct ourselves properly when it comes to those technical things. They let a lot of physicality go in the NBA. As long as your hands are in the right spot, as long as your body's angled to the right thing. And it's, you know, we are taking charges that they're not calling. So it's not just that, but we are taking charges that they are calling. So there are ways that we are using those rules to our advantage, but you know, we're getting caught, you know, breaking the plane, things like that. We also are running into teams that are experienced in how to win games. And we are out there and we are not experienced in how to win games with the groups that we've been running out. We had a really good chance to win that game against the Jazz right after the break, right? That was a great chance. We didn't close it, but since then, we've shown this inability to actually finish a game or take a lead and maintain that lead. But guess what? We've also not had Shea. So that's really to be expected because he's the one. He's our closer. You know, we had this thing in the fourth quarter. He's sitting for a few minutes every beginning of fourth quarter. And it's like, we have to take a certain type of lead before he sits. And sometimes we've been able to build that lead, but when we build that lead, we usually win. We're doing that sometimes. We're making comebacks, but then all of a sudden, when you're used to having Shea come back in, he's missing. Mm-hmm. And now we find out Kenny's going to be out for a little while too for the rest of the season now with an issue.
It hurts,
so,
man.
I mean, we're dealing with stuff, and we just have to dig in deeper.
Yeah, let's just go over what we're seeing with this team. I mean, there's no way to express it except for explaining it this way. JRE, second year. Jay Will, first year. Jay Lynn, first year. Josh Giddey, second year. Dort, fourth year. Dario, I think he's in his eighth or ninth year, right? Lindy Waters, second year. Trey Mann, second year. Isaiah Joe, second year, but people will probably say third year. Aaron Wiggins, second year. I mean, those are our players that we played last night, guys. Like, I get it. Dario is a veteran. But after that, yes, Dort is a veteran. Yes, Dort has playoff experience. But when it comes to veterans on this team, like we're running out. You know, like these guys are getting injured. These guys, we don't have a lot of experience. And this is what's going to happen when we're playing against a team like the Lakers, who have oodles and oodles of experience out there, playing hard, getting into the spaces, understanding where they need to be. You know what? It's part of the learning process. Like, everything is not going to be awesome and beautiful. And in the last six games, it's been rough, man. It's been really, really rough on this team.
It has been. But at the same time, it's the good type of rough. You know what I mean? Everybody likes it a little good type of rough. But look, going through difficult learning times with young players, we've been doing it for the last few years. There's a difference this year because we actually feel like we have a chance to win a lot of these close games. It's very different. And then we're also seeing emergences of young players that we really weren't sure were ready to take this step, but they needed opportunities, right? Jay Will and J Dub. They both needed opportunities. They needed us to say, basically, you're the next man up, go out there and do what you can do. And there's certain skills in the NBA that come and go. You know, shooters can get hot, you know, they can, you know, start to really find a groove that all of a sudden defenses adjust to and they can switch it. One thing that is a skill that translates really no matter what is taking charges. And Jay Will has become elite in that. And he was elite in that in college, but there's a difference and he's already made that transition.
Well, and it's changed how we look at the game because there's so many times that guys come down the lane that you see like Kenny or Dort that, you know, try to go straight up, you know, and it's like, no, take the fall, you know, like you see it. And then Jay Will's so good at it. Like, refs are changing how they're calling offensive fouls.
Right.
Because they watch Jay Will do it one time and they're like, okay, that guy didn't do it like Jay Will. You know? Block. You know, because it's such an art. It's so beautiful. Like like there's contact, and then there's immediately falling. Even if there's a slight contact, it looks like it's a heavy contact. Like it's a masterpiece out there with J Will, and it's beautiful because, again, when guys are coming down the lane and they're coming down hard, J Will doesn't need much time. Like we saw last night where he was in the restricted lane, right? Mm-hmm. And he pulled out and he got up on his tippy toes so his feet were not touching the restricted lane, and then took a charge on his tippy toes.
Right.
You know, it was like,
it was amazing.
Whoa. Like, to me, the way that he is able to get to the hole and change the direction of his shot, change the direction he is going, and then the way he is able to stop on a dime to take the charge. We're not done talking about J. Will for a very long time. This young man, he's going to be in the NBA, and he's going to be with the Thunder, I want to say, for the next 10, 12 years, because there's no doubt in my mind that he is going to be one of those guys when we hoist a banner, a championship banner up in the rafters of the new Oklahoma City Thunder Stadium. He's going to be one of those guys that was a huge part of it, because he's going to be coming into games that are big games and that teams are destroying us by getting to the hole very, very hard and very well. And he's going to come in and stop that, because the second you come up and take one charge and the player gets in his head that somebody else is going to take a charge, every time he goes down the lane, it's changing the way he does it, goes with his shot. And then all of a sudden, all the players start picking it up. And that's what I'm saying, is like you're already seeing the effect what J Will is having on everybody else, because you're seeing more charges done by these other guys. And the way that we're teaching it, this is, again, we're doing all the little things right. Coach D and the coaching staff is teaching all the little things right. And those things pay off in big, 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 big time in the long run. When you're in a close game and it's a one possession game, and all of a sudden J Will takes a charge, right? And now it's a two possession game, you know? Yeah. And those are the things that change the outcome of game just like that.
And his shooting, right? That's something that we weren't necessarily expecting. Early on, he was getting the Lu Dort treatment. They weren't closing out on him. And he's already evolved past that. They know they need to close out on J Will.
So what does he do now?
Just keep shooting. But it's going to have to be...
No. What does he do now that they're adjusting to him? Like, well, he has one thing that he does. What does he do when he gets the ball?
You can definitely use ball fakes.
Swings it.
Or swing it.
He swings that ball quickly. I mean, he gets the ball and he's passing it. The reason that he's doing this, right, is because the quicker that he's going and passing, the quicker his defender cuts out a different way, different direction, right? So you're going to watch this, and I'm telling you guys, this move is coming, and it's coming very fast and furious. J. Will is going to be passing that ball around the horn, and all of a sudden, one time, he's going to recognize his defender's getting lazy, and he's going to fake pass it really hard, right? His defender's going to sprint out, and J. Will is going to be left wide open for a three, and it's going to be a big-time three, because he understands what he needs to do to have the defenders react to him. And again, whether it's going to the hole and shooting a what we would call a basic layup with a 7-footer trying to stop him, like, he understands how to get there and get around the defender without even any contact at all. And it's a skill, and it's something that's really impressive to watch.
Yeah, he got called for a charge, but I felt like it was a bad call. I think him being such a great charge taker,
50-50,
right, like, helps him learn how to evade the charge. So while I understand what you're saying, I thought that the defender had to shift his body to create the head-on contact. And that's just a testament to the way J. Will moves around.
Was that the elbow or shoulder one?
I don't remember exactly.
There was one that he lowered his shoulder a couple games ago, or led with an elbow, or it could have been Dario that led with an elbow. But I'm pretty sure he went down with his shoulder. That was the reason he called that foul, is because when the second you go into a motion and lower that shoulder and it goes into the chest of somebody else, like, that's why that spin move is so powerful for big men, and J. Will knows the spin move. He should have done the spin move on him, because the guy was waiting for that shoulder into the chest, you know?
Right.
And he's, you know, any player that's smart enough, and Reeves is smart enough to recognize the second you get a shoulder in the chest, you just go down, because that looks like that offensive player created the contact, which, you know, whether or not he did that or not, it doesn't matter. It's the aspect of what the refs are seeing. And that's what you got to be careful with. And I think that's why some of these other teams are really good, is because they're really good at deceiving fouling, right? Deceptive fouling. So you can see it on the screen, right? You can see it sitting in your living room, but you can't see it on the floor. And I think that's one of the things where, you know, a lot of teams are really good at that. And the Thunder, man, we just go out balls to the wall. We don't give a shit about that. We want to beat you fair and square. We don't give a shit about that. And I think, to me, like, there comes a point where we're going to have to start, you know, making noises when we get hit, you know? Like, I mean, think about how many times I would go to the foul line when I was younger. I'd always go to the foul line. And the reason was is because I'd go up and somebody would barely touch me. I'd be like, ah, you know? And it's the hearing, right?
Yeah.
And seeing maybe a little skin-on-skin contact, right? And like, two shots.
Right.
And I think that's one thing that we're missing is just maybe the knowledge of how to sell get it. The refs to watch you. Exactly. Yeah. Sell it. Thank you.
Sell the call, right? But that's, you know, that's part of it. And that's what's so exciting about watching a young team, right? Old teams or veteran teams, they understand how to do these things and you go out there and you expect them. Young teams have to figure out how to get the job done. Something like gang rebounding, you know, it becomes a critical part of the game. Everybody has to contribute, and watching them learn how to contribute in their own way is exciting. One of the players that's really made an emergence recently, and we talked about him consistently recently, but J-Dub. Like, what is he going to be like? Bro. And so what I did, I went and took the best 9 games he's had this season.
Well, right? I got a question, though. Like, let's just put this in perspective. You went back and got his best 9 games. Now, you didn't have to go back very far because, if I'm not mistaken, his best 9 games have been in the last 20, right?
I don't have that right in front of me, man.
Okay, all right. I might be off on that one, but
I closed that window right before I got started up. But I think you're right. Like, he's been getting better as he goes, right? And most of his 20-point games, and that's what all these games were over 20 points, I felt like he'd probably go and study his own film in the offseason and be like, what did I do right in my best games, and how can I do more of that? How can I bring that swagger back at a high level next year from the get-go, right? And what I saw was 24 points a game. He has 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2.5 steals. Okay. What do you think, bro? How is that line up with the type of level you think he could play as far as averages next year?
Here's the thing with J-Dub. I don't want to put him in a box, but I do feel like next year he's going to teeter around that 18 to 22 point average a game. I think the shots are going to be there for him. I think he's a creator. The way he gets downhill, there's an opportunity for him to score more and average more points a game. But if he were to do that and average something like 25 points a game, then we're all selling our kidneys so we can go watch the Thunder play, because we're talking about like what J-Dub and Shea and Dort and Chet and all these guys and Josh Giddey together. Like, man, I don't care what the cost would be. I would have to go watch them every single year because, like, we're talking about J-Dub an insane amount of points. But what I'm seeing with him in the second half right here is that, like, when we came back out about a month ago or whatever, and we said in the redraft, I would take J-Dub number one. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't accepted very well. You know, people laughed at us. People made fun of us. But now I want to be clear with this, is that what we're seeing from J-Dub the last few games is the player that I believe J-Dub could be season in and season out for 15, 20 years in the league, 15, 18 years in the league. So with that being said, is we have to go back to some of the other guys that we've seen in the history of the game that have come out and, you know, the first half of the season kind of struggled and then clicked, right? And then the progression through the years. And I got to say is that guys like him, I get excited about, because there's not many, you know, there's not many guys that you can look at the first half of the season and say, okay, he averaged like 8 or 10 points a game. And then the second half, he averaged like 16 or 18, you know, it's that progression that's happening with him so quickly. Like he could be the best scorer on our team. He could be the most transition player. He could be the best player, in the league. Like that's how good J-Dub could be. Is I know we have Shea, right? I know we have Chet, but J-Dub is so good in the way he attacks downhill and the way he gets aggressive and the way he gets up. He could be the best player in the league in a few years if he keeps on, you know, consistently getting better. Because if he does make that 25-point jump and he averages 25 points a game, he's putting himself in the top echelon of players that have been able to come out their rookie year and average, you know, low, you know, teens, mid-teens, whatever, and all of a sudden jump up to 25 points a game and dominate the NBA. Like that's, you know, that has not happened a lot in the NBA. And that's why I would have to say if he did that,
right,
then people just start betting, like, all the money you have, the Thunder are making it to the Western Conference Finals next year, like everything, because J-Dub, high level, 25-plus points, Shea, you know, 30-plus points, Chet, you know, quadruple doubles. I mean, Josh Giddey averaging, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14 assists a game. Like, who knows what, you know, Isaiah Joe from three. Like, guys, this team is built so well. All we need is a couple of rookies to strike gold, and that's it. This team is not only there, but it's over. There's not a team that will be able to play with us, not an organization that will be able to handle us.
What is the final ingredient for J-Dub to be able to take that step?
Okay, so we're watching J-Dub's game, right? And I'm watching it, and I'm watching it evolve. And I'm watching how much more effective he is when he gets even somebody to slow his defender down, just even slightly. Because here's the thing. He's still getting his speed and figuring out what he can do. In a couple of years, it won't matter. He'll be past his defender every single time, right? But right now, he needs somebody to help to slow him down. So Jay Will, JRE, Poku, Chet, Dort, any of these big wide bodies or tall bodies, they need to be able to help him out there, because that split second that he'll get to even slow him down, because a defender, if he knows a screen is coming, he immediately thinks about it. And that split second that he takes his eyes off of J-Dub's gone. And we watched it last night happen in the game before. Happen, boom, boom, boom. And you're like, oh, J-Dub, right? Mm-hmm. So he just needs more of that. He needs more of that isolation of sorts, because he's not looking to score, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like Shea. I mean, imagine Shea and J-Dub on the wings, right? Mm-hmm. And you have Josh Giddey bringing down the ball in the middle, and he drives hard to the hole, right? Mm-hmm. And J-Dub collapses a little bit and gets the ball from Josh, and J-Dub drives the hole hard and causes Shea's defender to collapse, and J-Dub passes the ball to Shea, drives to the hole and finishes. You know, like, yeah. And we could go all day with this. We could talk about the different combinations. Josh goes left. Josh goes to Dort in the corner. Josh goes to Chet, alley-oop. I mean, we look at the different offenses that we're running right now, and we're seeing glimpses of what this team can do. But next year, that's it. Like, there's going to be everybody going to stop and be like, hey, Oklahoma City is the hottest ticket in town. We want to go watch them. Why? Because this team is going to be a dynasty, and it's going to be something that people are going to start saying a lot. Because, again, J-Dub's better than anybody can realize. Chet's better than anybody can realize. Isaiah Joe's better than anybody can realize. And let's just say it, SGA is the most underrated player in the league.
Right. And one of the things that I think is really interesting about J-Dub, right, is with all those top nine games, his average shots per game, he just shot 16 shots per game.
That's it.
Now, do you think that those shots are available next year for him?
Bro, we shoot on good nights, we shoot 100 shots. Right? That's part of our offensive shooting. Shea averages, what, like 18 shots a game?
I think that's a range, yeah.
So what, J-Dub 18, so that's 36 shots between them? Bro, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could add Josh in there averaging 12 shots a game. You can add Dort averaging 7. You can add Chet averaging 10. And we'd still be good on coming off the bench and with, you know, Isaiah Joe averaging, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 threes, whatever he does. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't matter. We could get 110 shots off a game if our offense is running efficiently, because our goal is to get quick shots that are open. So if we're efficient in our offense, then we're talking about being able to get up 110, 115 shots a game. And at that pace right there, maybe we're talking about Shea averaging 25 shots, which means that he could average 35 points a game. And maybe we're talking about J-Dub getting, you know, 20 shots a game, which means that he could average, you know, 29, 30 points a game. You know, like, because we're efficient. It's not all about, you know, getting open shots like James Harden, like, I'm just going to shoot until, you know, everything. We're efficient. We don't have the shot. We're not forcing it up. We're passing it out. I mean, look at it. 10 for 17 for Josh Giddey last night. You know, like, it's about getting to the hole and creating the best shot possible. And if that means that you have it, you take it. If that means that you don't have it, then you don't be a dick and don't take it. You pass the ball around. You share it, right? Mm-hmm. Share it like a fucking hippie community, bro. And that's what we're doing right now. This is a joint, and it's in a hippie community, and we're like, hey, everybody hit this. Everybody hit this. Everybody hit this. And then we score. But it's like, You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're
saying. It takes a little while before.
Dude, I love that. And if that doesn't get you jacked up, man, get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. We love you, and we will see you soon. Jazz up next, everybody.